conception sometimes about the forgiveness of sins, and we need to understand better, more importantly, how that this works. But there's one thing you must know. God is a just God. He's a just God. He always does wonderful things. Good to have Linda and April and the kids with us this morning. Amen. Good to have you all here this morning. Amen. I noticed this side here was almost packed out. This side kind of a little bit scattered. But that's all right. We're all here that's here, right? If you stand at a reading of God's Word, I want you to notice in the book of Colossians chapter number 2, beginning with verse number 13. 10 things, though, that God does with your sins. 10 things. They're very important. Mary always has her pencil and her notepad. And that's good. That's good. I wish more of you took notes. But just by chance, if you want to go back over the sermon later, you can go on the Facebook, and it is recorded on there. I'll be preaching on there again. But that way, if you get tired of hearing me, you can turn me off. Colossians 2, beginning with verse number 13. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, over them in it. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for your word. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. Thank you, God, that you have blessed us and helped us to come back to your house again. You have helped us, Lord, so many times, and God, you're not about to let us down now. We rebuke any evil spirit that tries to hinder in any way this morning, God, that your voice, your word, your spirit will go forth in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you thanks, we give you praise, glory, and honor for it all. In the lovely name of Jesus, and everybody says, amen. God laid our sins on Christ. And then hurling them into the sea or casting them into the sea. And then stomping them under his foot, threw them behind his back, blotted them out, refused to remember them, and taken them away as far as the east is from the west, cleansed them, and nailed them to the cross. There's a lot of things here that we're going to be touching on, about 10 things, and I hope that you pay close attention because it's very important. The original sin of Adam and Eve didn't just separate the human race from God, but it put into us a sinful nature. Every person is infected with the germ of sin and bent toward evil. Think about that. Nothing can help us escape from that terrible consequences of sin. You asked, isn't there some way we can get rid of our sin? Not in ourselves. The only way to cancel out the moral evil of sin is either for you to die for your sins or to substitute, a substitute may die for it. But thank God Jesus volunteered to atone for your sins. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immorality to light through the gospel. He tells us in Galatians and also 2 Timothy. God wants you to know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that your sins are forgiven. God doesn't want you going around feeling condemned and defeated. Hear me well, church. This is very important, and many Christians walk around in guilt and shame when it's not necessary. If you trust in Jesus as your Savior, repent of your sins. Here's the key right here. Repent of your sins, and you're trying to live for God the best you can. God wants you to know that your sins are under the blood and that you can walk in liberty and confidence, saying, I am now a son or a daughter of God. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm on my way to heaven. Do you really believe you are? 10 things that we're going to be sharing. Number one is the Father laid them on Jesus. And Isaiah 53:6 says, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity or the sin of all. First, we know that our sins are forgiven because they were laid on Christ. He became the sin bearer. Everything else God has done with our sins is the fruit. Notice this, everything else that God has done, it is the fruit of this incredible, gracious, and glorious act of God. How important it is, church, that we understand. Jesus voluntarily offered himself to be the substitute, yours and mine, to die in our place on the cross, to suffer judgment that we deserved, and the Father in reckoning Jesus to be guilty of your sins and liable for the punishment you deserve. Isn't that awful? He counted Jesus as guilty for your sins, even though he was innocent. He never sinned. This is what we read in Colossians 5:21. For God hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Divine judgment concerning sin, penalty, was satisfied. Don't even think that the love of God means that the wrath of God was ignored. Jesus paid the price for our sins. You say, we ought to know all this, but there's some other things you might not know that we want to bring out just in a little bit. In the second part of 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse 21 tells us that not only are we declared not guilty, but God went one step further and credited it to you and to me that Christ made us righteous. Isn't that something? God sees us clothed with the righteousness of Jesus. So in God's sight, not only are we forgiven, we're perfectly righteous in his Son, Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life is, Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And that's found in Romans. Now, I want you to notice, because Jesus paid our sins. God could do these other things, but Jesus paid it all. Number two is he hurled them into the depths of the sea, or he cast them into the deeps of the sea. You again have compassion on us, you will hurdle or cast all of our iniquity into the depths of the sea, Micah 7:19. Once forgiven, can our sins be retrieved? No. Did you hear what I said? Can your sins, once you've been forgiven, be retrieved? No. Why not? Because God hurled them with great force, and they sink like a stone to the bottom of the sea, never to be seen again. Now notice something, folks. Your sins, you can't retrieve them. You can't go get them back. When they're covered by the blood, they are gone. See, this is very important. They're gone. And number three is God tramped them, under his foot. Once again, you'll have compassion on us, meaning Jesus will. And this is in Michael. This is in the New Living Translation. You will tramp our sins under your feet and throw them into the depths of the sea or the ocean. Think about this. Think about what it would be for us to throw something away in a lake or throw it on the ground and stomp on it. You have to detest it and disagree with it. This is exactly what God did. He disagreed with it. He tramped it under his feet. This is what we're to do. We're to put our heel on Satan's head, and we're to tramp on that ugly rascal. Can anybody say amen? That's exactly what God feels about your sins. He not only throws them into the depths of the sea, but he also stomps them under his feet. So God responded to our sins a way to provide parents, just like a parent would destroying a snake in the children's playground. I'll tell you what, folks, God takes care of his own. Do you believe that? God throws them behind him. Number four is God throws them behind him. It tells us in Isaiah, it says, "Behold, it was my welfare that I have great bitterness, but in love you have delivered my life from the pit of destruction, for you have cast all my sins behind your back." He threw them behind him. Don't have any sins anymore. He put them behind, Joey. He didn't hold them against us. People may hold grudges against you. People may think hard things of you and all of this. God won't do that. So God takes all of our sins. And what does he do with them? In his hand, and then he throws it behind him so that he can never see it again. God drowns it. He stomps it, and then he tosses it away. You see, there's a story that's a little illustration. There's a story about a person who moved to Alaska, an Alaskan village, in the wintertime. This town was so beautiful. Snow in the yard was about 2 to 3 feet deep. And then when spring came, the snow melted, and the newcomers saw that the yard was full of old appliances and other garbage. The town looked like a junkyard. Now you see, in the winter it was all covered with the beautiful snow, and they couldn't see all of this. That's like when Jesus, or God, looks down from heaven and he sees us. He sees that we've been washed white as snow. He sees that we're cleansed. He sees that all of that stuff there, just like this junk in Alaska, was covered. The only thing about it, it stays covered. It never is revealed to him again. So this is a good part about God. So God takes your sins and places it out of his sight, behind his back. And all he sees now is the righteousness of his own dear son. Such is the love of forgiveness. That's a God we serve, folks. He's not a mean God. People said, "I'm afraid God's going to kill me." Well, maybe we deserve all to be killed, but thank God he's still letting us live. So God blots out our sins. Now notice this, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins, Isaiah 43 and 25. I have blotted out, like a thick cloud, your transgressions, and like a cloud, your sins, Isaiah 44 and 22. This is what God does. He blots it out. Now notice, blot out means often judgment, just like the Chicago boss people, the mobs that used to hang out up there and probably still do, they would call it rub out their enemy. Well, God rubs out our enemy. He stomps him out. So Pharaoh's, who had a family member that would fall into grave disfavor, were known to have their name stricken from all records. But in Isaiah, God says he will do the reverse. He will erase even the trace of our wrongs while elevating us to the highest level statue in his sight. This is what God wants. He don't want us to be down in the mully grubs that I've heard people say. I don't know what that is, so it might be an ugly word. Maybe you oughtn't to say it. But whatever it is, it don't sound good, does it? It must be ugly. Mully grubs, what in the world is that? I don't know. I'd have to look that up. I'd have to go to the Webster, see what they said. It'd probably say you got the wrong word. I don't know. But anyway, let's move on. So when you think about this, what God does, it's like typing up a message. And I've done this before. And I've hit the delete button a little earlier and wished that I had it all back. I work for hours on a message and have it all typed out and where it be ready for Sunday morning. And then I think, well, I'll go back and make a few little adjustments here and there and go over it again. And some way hit the delete button and it's all gone. I know that sometimes you can pull it back up and all of this, but sometimes when it's gone, it's gone. And this is what I've done. But see, God tells us in a roundabout way that his delete button of our records of our sin is gone. When he deletes them, they're gone. Here's the thing that's so good about God. So praise God, they're gone, they're gone. And there's no backup files. There's no sin. No sins that's going to hang around forever. He says, I even am he who blots out our transgressions for your own sake, and I will not remember your sins. All it takes is confession, folks. Here's the key. If you think you can just think on it, have false faith, as I heard the teacher teaching this morning, faith without works is dead, and think that it's just going to happen automatically, it is not going to happen automatically. God is not going to forgive you of your sins just automatic, just because you think, well, I've heard of God, and Brother Gordon said he's going to blot them out, he's going to stomp them out, he's going to put them in the depths of the sea and all this stuff. But there's something you have to do first. All it takes is confession. Confess of your sins. Repent. Ask God to forgive you. That's the key right there. All it takes then is the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ covers a multitude of sins. And then notice, he remembers our sins no more. Number 6. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins. Will I remember no more? Hebrews 8 and 12. Isn't that something? How many of you think that God could be forgetful? You think God could be forgetful? No. God can't be forgetful. We all know that God cannot forget. He has a permanent remembrance. He knows everything that is to know, both material, spiritual, in all times. He knows it all. Don't he? He knows it all. Hey, we're serving a smart God. But now, in Isaiah, it tells us again in 49, 15, and 16, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven this, notice this, behold, I have graven this upon the palm of my hand. The walls are continuously before me. You didn't know it was a Bible, did you? Now think about this. He's graven this. How can he do it? Well, first of all, if he can hold all the water in the palm of his hand, he's got a big hand. He's a big God. We don't serve a little rinky-dink God. We serve a big God. We serve a God that is powerful and mighty and great. So then why doesn't he remember our sins? If God can remember anything, why does he not remember our sin? Because our sins were transferred to Jesus. Our sins were paid by Jesus' death. We're new creatures, folks. The old sin person is dead and no longer exists before God. Here's the key right here. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. I don't care how evil you've been. I don't care how many sins you have sinned, committed over your lifetime. When you come and you ask God to forgive you and he covers your sins, hey, you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Did you ever think, my life is so messed up, I'd just like to stop it and just start all over again? Anybody ever been there? I'd just like to start it all over again. My life has just been a mess. I want to stop and start it all over again. Well, I got news for you. That is definitely possible. Stop what you're doing. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. Start all over because you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. In other words, you become a new person that you weren't before, but you become a new person in Christ Jesus. Isn't that simple, but it's wise, and it's the Word of God. We start all over again. All these things that we've messed up, and all of this, and all these dumb things that we've done. Now, it can just be blotted out, covered. We start all over again. Start afresh, start anew. I'm telling you something, folks. This is so wonderful, and how God loves us. The key is God cannot forget, but he can choose not to remember. Praise God for that. He takes our sins away forever. When John the Baptist saw Jesus, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world," John 1:29. And then there's an escape goat. On the Day of Atonement, the high priest made sacrifice to atone for the sins of the entire nation of Israel. And that was Leviticus 16. Talks about this. There would be two male goats would be chosen. And lots would be cast. One goat would be killed and its blood sprinkled before God. The live goat, Aaron and his sons, being the high priest, would confess over the sins of Israel. Then it would be released into the wilderness, carrying their sins away. This escape goat was a type of Christ for who would bear our sins upon him. But even better than this goat, Jesus was, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. He's the one that took away the sins. Hey, folks, we start out brand new, with a clean slate. Isn't that wonderful and great? And God is so good. Then he removes them as far as the east is from the west. David said in Psalm 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions," or our sin, "from us." So if God says, "As far as the east is from the west," If God had said from the north to the south, that would only been like 8,595 miles. Now, from the north terminal to the North Pole, and then that movement would be the end of the south. But he didn't say that. He didn't say north to south. What did he say? He said from east to west. It's an unlimited distance. Because you can keep going east forever and ever and ever. Isn't that something? Why in the world didn't he say north to south? Well, God's smarter than we are, right? So if God puts your sins that far away, you can be sure they'll never be seen again. Folks, here's the key. Let God have your sins, and he's gonna take care of them. He's already nailed them to the cross. Jesus has nailed them to the cross. He cleanses and he washes them away. How about that? He cleanses and then he washes them away. So what a good God we serve. But if we walk in the light as he is in light, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, folks, if this is not a message that should help anybody to understand a little bit about the saving grace of God and the forgiveness of sins. All through the scripture, sin is portrayed as dark and ugly. It soils and it spoils everything. It's like a deep, dark, seemingly stain on our souls. Yet God appeared to us in Isaiah 1:18, with these wonderful words. He says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool." Here's what he's telling us. This wasn't simply a promise for Israel, folks, but a promise of God to every person, even a believer today. So do you feel dirty? Does your heart ache with stain and sin? Do you feel separation between you and God? It don't need to be, for Jesus has already paid the price, folks. He's already paid for it. He's already taken care of it. So that's a good part. So God wants to wash your sins away. Paul has told us, he says, get up, be baptized, wash your sins away, calling on his name, meaning the name of Jesus. This is what he tells us. Wash your sins away. He means to get up, cleanse yourself, become a new creature in Christ Jesus. And this is such a wonderful and a great thing to do. Nail them to Christ or Jesus' cross. And when you nail them to the cross, it means they're canceled. No more sin. Wouldn't it be nice if we'd get a bill through the mail to pay some kind of special bill, monthly bill, and we opened it up and it would say, canceled, paid in full. Wouldn't that be nice? Woo, boy, I'd like that, wouldn't you? So Colossians tells us, and in the NIV version, I think this is might help you just a little bit better. When you were dead in your sins, God made you alive in Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness withstood us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailed it to the cross. And having disarmed the power and authority, he made public spectacles of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Here's what Jesus did. But when the fullness of time had come, God was manifest in the flesh to be the atonement sacrifice for sin. We are forgiven because of the cross of Jesus. Our guilt, our conviction in the courtroom of justice was overturned by the sacrifice of Jesus. We were found guilty, folks. Every single person born was found guilty, and all started with Adam and Eve, but that nature of sin just born right in us. And the only way we can do this is get rid of it. We have to take it to Jesus, ask his forgiveness, and let him wipe it all out and let his blood cover it all. And the heavenly paperwork of our guilt and our condemnation were nailed to Jesus' cross and was destroyed with him. Praise God, we are free. Can you just say amen? I want you to pay close to this illustration. I think it says a lot. There was a man came to a pastor and asked. He said, "Pastor, I just can't seem to get over something that I did." Pastor replied, "Have you repented of it?" The man answered, "Yes, Pastor, I have probably repented over it 1,000 times. Listen careful. The pastor said, "That's 999 times too many. You only need to sincerely repent once. If you do, the Lord will instantly forgive your sins. You don't have to keep repenting for the sins you've committed years ago and all of this." And I know the devil will bring them up and say, "Look what you did back in 1900 and so-so." But I want to tell you something right now. It don't matter what you did then. God is a forgiver of all sins. And you do not have to keep repenting over the same thing and over and over. Just give you a quick example. There's a neighbor that we had. He's a distant neighbor, but he was a neighbor. His first name was Joe, and I'll leave it at that because some of you might know him. But Joe came one night, and he was drinking. Matter of fact, he was kind of lit. But he was crying. I got to talking to him about the Lord, and he started crying. I said, "Joe, all you have to do is just repent. God will save you, and he'll even deliver you of alcohol and take care of you." He said, "I can never be forgiven. I have repented and repented and repented and repented, but I have never been forgiven. God can't forgive me." I said, "Why in the world can't God forgive you? He can forgive all sins except in the one, blaspheming against the Holy Ghost." He said, "I killed a man once, and I can't get forgiveness because the Bible says in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill." And as far as I know, Joe never truly understood this, even though I tried my best to help him to understand that God forgives all sins except in the one. Isn't that amazing? But Joe just couldn't get it. So he just drank and drank and finally drank himself to death. It's so sad, isn't it? We don't have to worry about all these things. God can take care of it. Somebody said, "Well, I stole something when I was a kid, and I still, it bothers me and all this." Hey, if you repent of it, forget it. God has already forgiven you. If you repented, truly repented, you don't have to worry about it. God will take care of all of that. He'll blot it out. You don't have to keep repenting for the same thing over and over and over and over. "Oh, I made a terrible mistake. I said a word I shouldn't have said." And then every time I start to praise God, the devil brings that up. You need to say this: "God don't remember it, and you're not bringing it back into my life because I'm not listening to you. Get thee behind me, Satan." That's the key, folks. Get him behind you. You don't have to put up with his mouth telling you you need to repent over and over and over and over for the same thing. What if you went to court and a judge said, "Your fine is going to be $100, just for instance." Well, you pay the $100 and you walk out. Then a month later, here comes a warrant for your arrest because they want you to pay another $100. That is not right. You can't be charged for the same thing over and over and over. And that's the same way we are, folks. We don't have to be charged and never be charged for the same thing over and over. When God forgives us, it's gone. The preacher gave some good advice, did he not? "Did you repent?" "Yeah, probably 1,000 times for the same thing. But it still bothered me." Hey, one time's all you needed. That's a smart pastor, you know it. But that guy needed some help, and the pastor knew exactly what to do. See, the Holy Spirit won't bring you back into to double jeopardy. He won't do it. He will not bring you back in double jeopardy. And this is a change for, hey, he won't bring you back for the same crime. God will not either. So who is this? Who is this can forgive sins? When Jesus forgives us, hey, he just forgives us, does he? And everything is all right. Come to the music, please. So Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." He talks about this in the Bible. How many of you want to make sure that you have God's forgiveness through Jesus this morning? How many of you have been battling with condemnation and want to put Satan under your feet because of something that you did years ago? People may not forgive you, but that won't keep you out of heaven. If God forgives you, you're just as pure and clean as you can possibly be. There's nothing more refreshing than the smell and the touch of a small baby when they have, first of all, a clean diaper, of course, but when they have just gotten a bath, has some good smelling stuff on, and they're so soft and tender to touch, and they smell so good, and they'll go goo, goo, goo. And oh, I tell you what, that is a beautiful thing, is it not? Well, just think of us. When we become a new creature in Christ Jesus, we become His child, His baby. All of that old smell of sin is washed away. Now we smell good and fresh. Now we're clean as a newborn baby. We started all over again. Oh, I want to tell you something, folks. It makes me just want to say, thank you, God, just wash me again. Hey! Don't you let the devil beat you over something you've done years ago. Will you stand all over the building, please? And if the devil's been bothering you bad, hey, come on, let's get around this altar this morning and let's pray and say, God, I thank you for that message. It's helped me that I can understand better that you do not hold sin against us right on and on and on and on. Once it's blotted out, it's blotted out. It's gone. It's deleted. No return. Aren't you glad of that? The altar's open. Will you come and pray? Will you come? Come on, as they play and sing, the altar's open. What?